John chapter 18, verse 37. I do have a reference in Acts I'll refer to momentarily, but I take my text for this morning's message from John chapter 18 and verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth, and thank you for the reasons he came. There was more than one reason. He came, of course, to save us from our sins, but according to this verse, he came to bear witness to the truth. As we study about this particular reason for his coming, teach us something we need to know. Help us in this study, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember Eutychus in the Bible? He's sort of, quote unquote, the patron saint for those who believe that sermons are too long. Remember? He was sitting in the window and Paul preached all night long and he fell asleep and fell out the window. Remember how that went? Sermon length has been a controversy for a long, long time. Short sermons seem to be winning out in a lot of churches these days. But in addition to length of the sermon is the issue of the content of the sermon. Today's sermons are consisting less and less of Bible content and more of sentimental stories. Sentimental stories are those that appeal to feeling and emotion rather than thought and reason. Jesus testified to the paramount importance of preaching by stating that that is one of the reasons he was born into this world. He says, For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Well, at the end of this message, I'll have a sentimental story for you. But before we get to that, let's deal with the content of biblical truth that Jesus came to bear witness to. In John chapter 18 and verse 12, it says, Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas. And Annas is going to ask him concerning the content of his teaching. He says in verse 19, as he is before Annas. Now Annas was previously the high priest. He is now the father-in-law of the current high priest, Caiaphas, but he still maintains a great deal of influence, and he is the first one to interview or interrogate Jesus. And in verse 19, the high priest, though he's not actually the acting high priest, they still referred to him in that regard. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine, that is, of the content of his teaching. Jesus responded by suggesting that they ask people who had heard him teach. Verse 20, Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. In fact, what does it matter what is said if it is never heard? Jesus said, go find out if anything I said ever had an impact upon anyone that heard me. No sermon matters if it does not influence the thinking of someone who hears it. The ultimate accusation against Jesus had to do with the words he had spoken. Go over to Luke chapter 22 and verse 66. Luke chapter 22 and verse 66. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if also I ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, art thou the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. Now that's the same as saying yes. It's a little awkward language for us, but in 1611, that's the way it was expressed. Basically, said, you said it. And how do we know? Verse 71, they said, what need we any further witness, for we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. Here he has professed he is the Son of God. Chapter 23, verse 1, and the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King. Now we pick up this narrative over in John chapter 18 once again in verse 33. John chapter 18 and verse 33, where in Luke chapter 23 verse 2, he himself said he's Christ a king. John chapter 18 verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the King of the Jews? That's what he's being accused of saying. So is that what you're saying? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee of me? In other words, Jesus is asking Pilate if he really wants to know for himself. Do you really want to know, Pilate? Or are you just repeating words you heard from somebody else? Is this a genuine question? Do you really want to know who I am? Do you want to know the truth? Or are you following a crowd? Think about that for yourself. Are you here just because it's the thing to do? Are you here just because your parents made you come? Which is what parents ought to do, by the way. But none of this will do you any good unless you want it for yourself. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Verse 35, thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Pilate doesn't really answer Jesus' question. But Jesus answers in verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king." I mean, he's admitting to it. It's the same thing as with the previous statement. But then he goes on, "To this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Jesus is a king. But he seems to make that secondary to something else. He didn't come into the world to be a king. He was already a king. He didn't have to become a king. He didn't come to become the king of the Jews. He's already the king of the world, king of the universe, the king of all creation. His kingdom is not of this world. But his present mission is to bear witness to the truth. Notice how Jesus makes reference to his birth. "To this end was I born." Luke chapter 2, verse 6, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And he was born." Verse 7 of Luke chapter 2, "She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger." He was born. How much do newborn babies know? Any of you have memories from the very first day you were born? Likely not. Do infants like that have a vocabulary? Do they understand when the parent talks to them? I know they suggest that you talk to your child while it's in the womb and play music for it and all of that. Perhaps there is some development of understanding in that process. But Jesus is no ordinary baby. There's one significant difference between Jesus and anybody else that's ever born, and that is that Jesus existed before he was born. None of the rest of us did, but he did. A fully conscious person, the eternal Son of God, who sat upon the throne of glory and interacted with angels and with people. I just wonder, even from the first day he was born, how much he was able to process in his mind. To Pilate, he says, "At least from the very moment that I was born, this was my intention, to bear witness to the truth." Jesus makes it very clear that if we are to understand the meaning of Christmas, that is, the meaning of his birth, we have to go beyond the birth and examine his life on earth. You cannot appreciate a storybook by only reading the first chapter. Remember last week we talked about him writing the last chapter? Well, his birth is only the first chapter. There's so much more to the book that must be known and understood. Go back to Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. It was actually prophesied by Isaiah that Jesus would bear witness to the truth, that he would come preaching. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach." There it is. A reference, obviously, to the Messiah, a prophetic reference to the Messiah. "The Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Well, Jesus affirmed over in Luke chapter 4 that this was actually a reference to him. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, if you recall, while he was traveling around Galilee, he went to Nazareth, well, the place where he grew up. He was born in Bethlehem. He spent a little time as an infant in Egypt, but then from early childhood up through the time he began his ministry at the age of 30, he lived in Nazareth and was a carpenter under his father. And then he began his ministry at age 30, and he's going about all the towns and villages and in Galilee, and he comes back to his hometown in Nazareth. And in Luke chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable day of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He was anointed to preach. To preach the gospel, to preach deliverance. In verse 19, to preach the acceptable day of the Lord. Jesus was, in fact, he says, compelled to preach. He must preach. Drop down in chapter 4 to verse 42. The end of chapter 4, verse 42. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. I must. It was his mission. It was his purpose. And over in John chapter 17, he declares, John chapter 17, verse 8, he declares the success of what he had accomplished in preaching. For he says in John chapter 17 and verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. He has given to us the words he preached. What are we going to do with them? We must understand that Jesus never intended for us to hoard the words of the truth. You know what a hoarder is? A person who accumulates clutter that never benefits anyone else. That is not what he intends for us as to the truth. Let's consider the example of the shepherds. Would you go to Luke chapter 2 and verse 8? Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And I imagine it was rather quiet. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Can you imagine the suddenness of all of this and the impact it would have upon these shepherds in the still of a night? They're told that there was a birth. True? Yes. A real physical human birth. They're told that it was the birth of a Savior. True? Oh, yeah. If you don't have a copy of Noah Webster's 1828 First Edition Dictionary, I would really encourage you to get one because it's delightful reading. Here's his definition of the word Savior. This is in the dictionary, okay? Not a commentary. Well, his dictionary is sort of like a commentary. Noah Webster's definition of Savior: one that saves or preserves, but properly applied only to Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, who has opened the way to everlasting salvation by his obedience and death, and who is therefore called the Savior by way of distinction, the Savior of men, the Savior of the world. What a definition in a dictionary. And then he ends it with this: General Washington may be called the Saver, but not the Savior of this country. That's only for Jesus Christ. Wow. It was the birth of the Christ, they're told. Was that true? Yes. The anointed one, the Messiah, the promised one. They're told Christ is the Lord. Is that true? Yes. And the Lord is God. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The shepherds heard the truth. And what comes from hearing? Faith. And they believed it. Immediately, verse 15, it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass. They did not say, let us go and see if this thing has come to pass. No. They said, let us go and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. This was the word of God. They heard it. They believed it. They found it just as it was told unto them. Verse 16, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So now what? Well, verse 17, they passed it on. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They could not contain within themselves the wonder of the truth they have heard and seen. As Jesus said, I must preach in all these cities. It was so in the hearts of these shepherds. We have heard the truth. We've seen the truth. We must tell others. Just contemplate this, John 17 and verse 8. The verse, yes, the verse we looked at a little bit earlier, just a moment ago. John 17, verse 8. Contemplate this. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Just as the shepherds had the word given to them, we have the word given to us. The question is, what will we do with it? Jesus' mission was to bear witness to the truth. He said this was the end to which he was born. And then he says to us in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, we don't have to go very far in this world to preach the gospel to people who need to hear it. It can be someone very close to you. I was over at Roots on Tuesday. Anybody ever go to Roots? Nice place to go. Fun place to go. And I was on my way back to the car, and this man comes towards me, and suddenly he says, "Sir, I may never see you again." I thought, I've never seen you before. And then he says, "I would like to give you something that could change your life." And he handed me a tract. I told him, of course, that I was a Christian, that I was a pastor. We had a good time of fellowship. Never met each other before, but had a good time of fellowship. And I thought, that's a pretty good opening. "Sir, I may never see you again, but I'd like to give you something that might change your life." There are all different kinds of ways to begin a witness. Sometimes it's a little awkward with strangers, and we don't know how to get it started. I thought that was a good way to get it started. As Jesus said, I must preach. As the shepherds could not contain the word given to them, but just had to tell it to others, what about us? This is a poem. It's a little bit of a sentimental story, as I warned you ahead of time. It's written by Margaret Cagle, but it makes this point. Della was a Christian young lady who served God with all her heart. She sang pretty solos in church. In the choir, she sang alto part. Everyone loved to hear her sing. Della had a very beautiful voice. There was not a dry eye in church when Zion's Hill was her choice. Not only did Della sing for God, but she witnessed for Jesus too. She brought her co-worker to church, a pretty young lady named Mary Lou. Mary Lou heard the gospel preached, but she really just wanted to wait. She planned to get saved later, but now she would have fun and date. One Sunday night, Della sang again, Zion's Hill, that old hymn of old. As Della was driving Mary Lou home, she asked her a question so bold. Mary Lou, Zion's Hill is like heaven. There would you like to dwell? If you would get saved tonight with your soul, it will all be well. Mary Lou never answered Della. For in an instant came a tragedy. A drunk driver drove into their lane, and Della drove into a tree. Dear Della died there at the scene, but her friend Mary Lou was all right. She fell on her knees and got saved before she went to bed that night. Mary Lou went back to that church. Her testimony gave everyone a thrill, especially when Mary Lou declared, I'll dwell with Della on Zion's Hill. Is there a Mary Lou in your life? Someone who needs to hear the truth. You have the truth. Will you give it to someone? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus declaring the truth. Thank you that he gave it to us and we have it. Lord, we've asked the question this morning, what are we going to do with it? Work in our lives that we would find those Mary Lou's who need to hear the truth before it is eternally too late. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.